Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Open your Bibles in Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to be reading from verse 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Only so far the reading of God's word. Lord, I do want to ask you just for your mercy this afternoon, and that you would speak to our hearts. It is so easy to just lay aside things that we already know. And so as we, this passage is familiar, what we're going to be talking about is so familiar, Lord, but I pray that your Holy Spirit will drive these truths of your word into our hearts, starting with my own, Lord. I pray that you will speak to us. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, think about pears that go always together. You know, salt and pepper, Tom and Jerry, bacon and eggs, Scooby and Shaggy, SpongeBob and Patrick, the Tap Brothers. Yeah. And to these next 3 weeks, I firmly believe that these two things go together: praying and going. And let me start with this phrase: you can't go without prayer, and you can't just pray and not go. We have been called to go into all the world and make disciples. We know this great commission. But I want to remind us that the praying and the going go hand in hand, and that we cannot ignore either or. This advancement of going and the endeavor of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to be almost like soaked in prayer, in a spirit of dependence upon God. And so, pray and go. So this passage that we read is a very familiar passage. And just to say, we are going to shorten the message a little bit so that we have a more extended time of prayer. But as we go through this passage, the first thing I want to point out to you is that Jesus was filled with compassion. Jesus was filled with compassion. This word in the Greek is like a movement of the bowels, that Jesus was moved into compassion. He was filled with compassion as he saw this crowd. So the Bible tells us that he had been going from city to city, healing and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction. And the crowds were following him. They want to see more. They want to hear more. And as Jesus saw them, he had compassion. As Jesus saw them, he had compassion. And I think there is a principle here that I want to remind us of. How can we have a heart full of compassion if we are never seeing them? If we have no contact whatsoever with the world, how can we be moved to compassion? So Jesus looks at them and he's moved to compassion. And so we cannot just stay within our holy huddle. And fellowship is great. And we must encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we must not neglect the gathering together of the saints and come on Sundays and be part of a Bible study who will walk with you, who will encourage you when you're down, who will be praying for you when you are going through a tough time. We need all of that. But it is very easy for us to just simply stay in that comfort zone to I know that I'm going to be reciprocated with love and compassion. I know I'm going to get something really nice after the Bible study because someone cooked. I know we're going to have a great cup of coffee afterwards and we can catch up. And this is all great. But it will be really hard for us to have compassion for the lost if we have no contact with the lost whatsoever. It's amazing how God just orchestrates things. So this past week, I was working here in the office, and Alfred comes to the office and says, "Isaac, there's someone that is asking for a pastor." And Pastor Charles was meeting with someone. I think Jabu was also meeting with someone. And I must confess here, this is not very strange to happen. And often it's, you know, they want some money or some help. And it is very easy to just like, sorry, can't help or whatever, and dismiss things. And I confess that as Alfred comes and tells me this, and I'm like, I've got so much stuff to do. But okay, let me go and speak to this person. And I started speaking with this young man, and he was just started telling me this his story, and he was saying, "What can you tell me? What do you say to someone who has just given up all hope?" That's what he kind of started with, and then I started asking questions. So what happened, and all of this, and tragic story. And I was able to share the gospel with him, but just listening to him, and he said this, "You know, you're the first person that hears my full story. Nobody else has done that." And I didn't even help him with what he really wanted in terms of finances. But I was able to share the gospel and say, "Look, I don't have human answers for you, but Jesus does. You can put your hope and trust in Jesus." And my point of this story is not to say, not to make you feel guilty or make me look good. No, no, no. The point of this story is we need to be in contact with people because people out there are without hope. They are helpless and harassed. And this is my next point. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. They were lost, helpless, hopeless, harassed. And this is the true condition of the world that we live in, even if they don't realize it. The crowds were following Jesus because he had healed diseases and afflictions. But they were just helpless. And then Jesus says this, makes an analogy. They were like sheep without a shepherd. So I did some digging. How does a sheep behave without a shepherd? What is a sheep like without a shepherd? And it was very, very interesting. So without a shepherd, sheep are defenseless, directionless, and prone to wandering and danger. So the shepherd provides the constant care, protection, and guidance that sheep cannot provide for themselves. Also, I found out that sheep have a strong instinct to follow, but in the absence of a leader, they will follow one another aimlessly. This often leads them into danger as they have poor depth perception and will continue to follow other sheep over cliffs or into other hazards. In other words, they just follow each other. They not aware of danger. And then I came across this. A lone lost sheep has no homing instinct and will remain bewildered until found. Isn't that interesting? So the sheep doesn't have like a home instinct to go back, you know? They're just gonna get further away, lost and lost. And this, again, almost just reminds us of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, going after the lost sheep and rescuing us and find us and bring us to the fold. We are the lost ones, not Jesus. He rescues the sheep. And this passage seems to be kind of a fulfillment of a prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 2. It says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." The people they were following Jesus because they heard, they saw what Jesus was doing, and they wanted to hear him. They wanted to be instructed, but they did not have good shepherds. In fact, this passage is an indictment of on the religious leaders of Israel at that time. They had not been good shepherds to these crowds. And Jesus looks at them and sees them hungry to hear good teaching, as it were. And they were without a shepherd. And so Jesus then turns to his disciples. He has been moved with compassion. And he turns to his disciples and he says, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We need laborers. We need laborers. Now, we've heard this verse before many, many times. And now often we immediately think of missionaries, right? And yes, that can be applied to missionaries. But in the immediate context of the passage, and I must give credit to where credit is due, it was my brother-in-law, Shane, in one of our family gatherings, we were talking about this text, and he rightly points out that the immediate context mentions that the laborers are actually shepherds. The laborers are actually pastors, shepherds, elders. We need more shepherds. We need godly men that will stand in the gap and labor and proclaim the gospel of Jesus and shepherd the flock. Which there is also another implication that missions has to go hand in hand with a local church. There's not missions without a local church. That's kind of the what God had set up, that churches will be planted. That's why I am so excited with the prospect of church planting, because this is how God set it out to be. There is some place for mission organizations, but we need to be very careful that the church doesn't just relegate its role in missions and just says, oh, let just the mission organization take care of it. No. It is within a local church, and so we need laborers. There is plenty of harvest, but we need laborers. And so in this endeavor of proclaiming the gospel to people and going to the Great Commission, what does Jesus instruct the disciples to do? To pray earnestly. To pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I honestly believe, and this is, I'm not saying of you, of just you, but of me, brothers and sisters, I don't think we pray enough. We often have a sense of self-sufficiency. God has blessed Central Baptist in a great way. We have two campuses. We have a number of godly men as elders and other men as deacons. We have many people serving in many different ways. I mean, I'm just amazed, even when I think about the worship team, which is kind of what I need to oversee in terms of the two campuses. You know, there's almost 70 people involved in worship. I mean, how many churches have that? And we have been very blessed, and so we can be easily feel comfortable and self-sufficient and think, wow, we have existed for 130 years. Wow, what a blessing. That is amazing. But we need to take the next step in earnest prayer. In earnest prayer, whatever we are going to do next, we need to be earnestly praying for. And so, This is what we're going to do just now. Is we're going to spend some time praying and asking the Lord, help us, lead us. As we try to plant another church, help us. We're going to earnestly pray that God will raise more men, more shepherds. We are going to seek God's face. So I'm going to end with a quote from Spurgeon. Let us plead with the Lord of the harvest to care for his own harvest and send but his own men. May many a true heart be moved by the question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? To answer, here am I, send me. So, what we're going to do now is we're going to spend the next 15 to 20 minutes and we will split up in groups of five. Rory, can you put the prayer requests? So we're going to be praying for the leadership. Pray for the elders. Pray for them. Pray for Pastor Charles. For all the elders. As there is a... It's a Sandra is a huge, it's a big congregation. Pray for God to raise up new shepherds, that godly men will be standing up and coming into that role. Pray for the Myberg family as we, in this project of seeking to plant another church, they're going to have to relocate, that they'll find a place, the right place. Pray for the core group. Pray for the church plant, that God will prepare already the hearts of the people that will be going into that church plant. For Quentin and his family who will be also helping. Pray for a compassionate heart for the lost. God will move our hearts not to be just comfortable with who we have, but that we will have a compassionate heart for the lost. Pray that as we take this each step in terms of this church plant, that it will be in faith and wisdom with the resources God has given us, but not in fear, in faith as God leads us. So we're going to be praying for this, and if there are other prayer requests that come out in your group, that's fine. So let's split up in groups of five, and then in about 15 to 20 minutes I'll pray, and then we'll close off with a song. We're going to stop the streaming now, so those that are in streaming, you can pray there at home, but let's go ahead now and spend some time praying together. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.